Okay, welcome everybody to the Creators Table podcast. I'm joined here with, who am I speaking with?
You're speaking with PAG, P-A-G. Hello. Yeah, to be clear, this is, my first name is Preston. You can call me by Preston.
Okay, cool, because I was like, I'm gonna have a lot of trouble referring to you as PAG. I was like, I'm a try, but...
My showbiz name is PAG, but... You can just refer to me as Preston. It's totally cool.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, why don't we just start off, and why don't you just kind of give us a brief explanation on what it is that that people see and people know that you do?
Yeah, of course. So I like to make animations and music. Animation-wise, the dark comedy, absurd kind. Stuff that's inspired by ASDF movie and anything by Film Cow. When it comes to music, the best way to describe it is electronic music, but insanity. That's the best way to put it. It's one of those things you kind of have to listen for yourself.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's very unique. It is very unique. And it's definitely, I definitely see what you mean. Would you refer to it as electronic, right?
I say electronic. It's EDM. They're technically like a gazillion subgenres, like dubstep, trance, house, just so many things. But I like to mix a bunch of genres together rather than restricting myself to the same subgenre throughout. And I feel like you can get a really cool, I guess, mixture out of everything and make unique songs rather than the same stuff over and over again.
Yeah, I got you. Why don't we start with your animations, and then we'll go on to your music. So, kind of tell me what it's tell me when you got started doing music.
Yeah, of course. So, back in middle school, like my first year of middle school, I've made a comic which was absolutely awful. It was just a joke about fidget spinners and how one character bought a fidget spinner out of someone in a dark alley, and just it was awful. It was absolutely awful.
Oh, that sounds so appropriate though. Like fidget spinner, like, man, that takes me back. I literally found a fidget spinner in my drawer the other day, and I was like, I remember when we used to be addicted to these. Like, this used to be a sign of like wealth, you know? Like, you'd walk into school with like a metal fidget spinner and like everyone would bow.
The fidget spinners were everywhere. You could buy a fidget spinner in like the weirdest place. I went to a restaurant, just a random restaurant, and they would be selling fidget spinners just at the checkout area. I'm like, what? This is so out of place.
They were like really expensive too.
Yeah, especially the metal ones. The metal ones are crazy.
Well, it's like at first those, it's kind of like how pickleball rackets are. Like, this is so random, but like, I feel like that's just like a, like, I don't know, like, to the people who've, like, been to a store to, like, go buy, like, a pickleball racket, like, they're way overpriced. Like, I know those things don't cost $50 to make.
I want to get into pickleball. I didn't know that they were that expensive. How expensive are you talking?
Like, you can go, like, it's scary when you go to Walmart and the cheapest one they have is, like, $40.
Holy cow, 40 bucks?
I'm like... A ping pong paddle is not $40. You know what I mean? And it's basically an extra large ping pong paddle. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm not crapping on pickleball. I swear. Pickleball's fun. I think it's overrated, but it is fun. But they got to lower the price. I mean, obviously, they're only having the price high because it's just really popular right now. But like, a tennis racket is around the same price as a pickleball racket. And I'm like, I know tennis rackets are probably more valuable than a pickleball racket and probably cost more to make than a pickleball racket because those are like finely tuned, right? So continue what you were saying about you basically finished with, or before I interrupted you, basically finished that you made this this animation involving fidget spinners.
Oh, right. It was just a comic. And if you looked back at it, it was made with Microsoft Paint. It was awful. There were no smooth lines. It was really, really bad. But then I decided to keep on making each comic I made quite a few comics on Instagram, and you know, a lot of people thought my comics were fun and stuff, but I knew immediately that what I was making could be, I guess, turned into more of an animation thing. I had this vision in my head of like the perfect show I want to make. And I tried to explain it to people, and a lot of people were, you know, just nodding their heads like, and just didn't really believe me. And I was like, I have to prove it to people. I have to show people what I mean.
No, I see it for real, because you have this main character, which is just the yellow smiley face, which I assume is like kind of embodies you a little bit, but not exactly, right?
Yeah, that what's interesting is that the yellow character that you know is more like a cartoonified version of myself. Really, what I want to make is based around two characters, Orange and Blue, which are in a few shorts, which, by the way, the newest animation I'm working on will be about those two characters.
I really like your template. Like, kind of how you said you got a lot of inspiration from ASFD? Is that what it is?
ASDF movie, yeah.
ASDF, my bad. Because I remember watching those. I remember when those were huge. And those were hilarious. Those were kind of some of the best content back then.
I absolutely loved them. They were my favorite thing to watch for. Like, I would watch all of the videos and then rewatch them multiple times because the way they're executed is so perfect.
And it's a reoccurring idea. Like, it's still, other people are just taking their own spin on it. And a lot of people are doing, I think a really popular technique now is, maybe not technique, but it's like where they just kind of draw it and they like film their computer with their camera and they just do it that way. Which I feel like it's cool, and I'm kind of a sucker for it, but I do have a lot, not, okay, I mean this in the best way possible to anybody who does do those little animations. I do have a lot of respect for people who actually make, like you, Preston, who actually make the in-depth cartoon, because if you haven't already, I suggest you go now and go check out his shorts on Instagram. Are they on YouTube as well?
Yeah, YouTube shorts.
But yeah, you go to YouTube, go to Instagram, check out his shorts. They're very good. I thought one thing that kind of shocked me is how good the audio is on them.
Yes, I pour so much effort into the audio.
It sounds very professional. Like your animations feel very professional.
I appreciate it. Thank you. It's like you can't have anything professional without good audio. It's what makes the cartoons come to life.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very, I fully understand what you're saying. Yeah, I think that's kind of what makes it the difference of it. I think you must spend a lot of time on each of your animations.
Yeah, a lot more time than I wish.
I really like your idea of a show. I know that would be a tall task. I think that's something you can do. I think if you put your mind to it, I think you can do that. And I think people would watch if it got the attention, you know. I think a lot of the people I've like thought about interviewing or have interviewed either have a somewhat large following or they just haven't gotten noticed yet. And I feel like it's kind of one of those things where it's like I genuinely like a lot of the stuff I've seen, and I'm like, this is stuff I feel like I find really funny. Because I feel like a lot of the times people, like if you have a friend or something that, or when people meet somebody who has like their own account and they're trying to grow it or whatever, you're kind of just like, oh, I know this person who does this, and you don't really pay any attention to it. But I see your stuff and I'm like, this is actually really funny. This is actually, because I'm a sucker for like the little animations. So like you're really getting into my groove of people, you know, because like that's there's a unless it's just me, there's definitely a lot of people who like the type of content you're trying to pursue.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Like that's awesome. The yeah, my when I started making it, my goal was to take all of the bits and pieces I love from the stuff I watch and stuff that have inspired me and try to mix it all together. So I wanted to basically make ASDF movie if it had a really good storyline.
I think you could do that. I think I would love to see that. If we get the PAG movie, like that'd be awesome. That'd be so cool. I'm sure that would take you a long time. Like that would not be some 1 month task.
That would take a gazillion years.
Yeah, especially just by yourself.
And that's my biggest issue right now because here's the thing. I know how to execute the animations in a way that can get views, especially when it comes to, the ratio between the little subscribers I have compared to the views I'm getting. But the biggest issue I have is consistency. Because animation, you have to pour in so much time and effort into each one, and one of them has taken me like 3 weeks to make, and that's too long for a short.
Yeah, no, I think it's a hard line to tiptoe, I think, because on one hand, you can have maybe these more simple shorts, but I feel like you might not feel like you're like not to say how you would feel about this, but you might not feel as accomplished. You know what I mean? Like I feel like that might be not holding you back, but I feel like it's kind of something like you want to put out your best content and the best animation you can make. And I guess your biggest sacrifice from it is time.
Yeah, you're spot on.
Maybe that means you still do the shorts, but you try to find some outlet that keeps you posting, that keeps you not every, it doesn't have to be every day, it doesn't have to be, every 2 days, but I think a very fair amount is like once a week, which is kind of a lot depending, especially on what you're doing. And I'm not exactly sure the best way for you to post once a week, but there's something there.
Like, I feel like that would be a reasonable goal if I had more people to. Okay, if I knew somebody who could just do the background art, life changing. That would be a huge game changer
Well,
because.
I know I have a lot of artists who follow me, so maybe these, maybe not saying you're looking to hire people, but maybe you can find a partner or something, or somebody who is interested in your idea and is willing to be not willing, but kind of wanting to partner in this. You know what I mean?
That'd be cool. We should definitely talk about that afterwards.
Yeah, I think if anybody's listening and you're looking to be a part of something, I mean, just DM him and I'll, I can't promise that anybody's actually gonna DM you, but I think there's a chance. That's kind of the whole reason why I started this is because I saw there was a lot of artists following me, and I'm like, I can make a little community out of these people. You know, I'll bring them together.
Yeah, I'm grateful that you said that. Thank you. Anybody who is listening, help. I need help.
Starving artists over here, please. No. Yeah, no, I get that for sure. If you want, I'll go ahead and move on to we'll go ahead and move on to your more music aspect of what you do. So what is so how long have you been making music then?
Technically, I've been doing it for around 3 years now, I think. I need to double check, actually. Okay, it's a very interesting story because what actually got me into music production were two things. One, I knew a friend who, a good friend that was into music production. He made beats on a laptop. And two, Beat Saber.
Beat Saber? Oh, heck
Beat
yeah.
Beat Saber. If for those of you who don't play VR, Beat Saber is a rhythm game that involves lightsabers. Just imagine lightsabers and Guitar Hero, mix those two together. That's Beat Saber.
Beat Saber is very satisfying.
It really is. Especially when you get to the harder levels and you can nail each one. It's just, it feels like another form of dancing or exercising or whatever. But anyways, one day a new update came out. They've released three songs in there by an artist named Camellia. He's a Japanese musical artist that makes really crazy, insane stuff. Like, most people won't be able to casually hear it to not go insane. I immediately fell in love with that music. And like a year or so before, I had a music crisis. Like, I thought I was only into songs that were just happy, or just, you know, like Panic at the Disco's High Hopes, or just that kind of stuff. But after listening to it, I realized I knew I was a person that really enjoys music with a lot of hype. It was only till then that I realized that I was just missing something for the longest time, which is something crazy, something absolutely insane, something really fast, almost like you're riding a roller coaster.
Something that gives you goosebumps when you hear it, I feel like.
Absolutely, yes. Yes. 1,000%.
I get that. I get that's a feeling I feel like I explore anytime I'm like bored or like listening to music. I'm like, what is that song I haven't heard in so long that gives me that feeling again, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
It's just songs. I don't know, because then it's not, but it's not like it's not the same thing for everybody. It's weird.
Yeah, everyone has their preferences, I guess, or best way to put it, like whatever gets them to have that feeling.
Yeah,
their own satisfaction.
So then when did you release your first, or not release, when did you make public your first song that you wrote?
After I realized I could actually make my own music, I downloaded Reaper. I got a few free virtual sound instruments, and I found an opportunity to make a song for a song contest, which I had like a 2-month deadline to make. And I was like, screw it, I'm just gonna make something as best as I can and see what I can make. And the first song I released was 25 Years of Armageddon. Looking back, it is really bad. It is really bad.
Boy, I feel like you got everything. You always get a start. I mean, I look at some of the early guitars I did, and they were awful, and they were just a train wreck.
I just want to say real quick, actually, your guitars are excellent. I love all the guitars you make.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I mean, they weren't always great, and that was really making them look great was a pretty recent thing. You know, I was talking the past year or two. Cool, because I've been trying to do stuff like this for a long time, and you know, you learn. But when it comes to, enough about me, Susan. Somebody will interview me at some point, but we're saving that for later.
I'll come back and take his seat so that we can revert things around and do an interview all just for him.
But I would well then that brings me to my next question, because I kind of just want to establish, you know. So what was you kind of already said what has inspired you with your songs. It was just that new genre of music, right?
Yeah, if I have to give it a name, let's just say Japanese hardcore. That's the best way to put it.
Hardcore is like a funny name for a genre, but I like it. It's like metal's like trying to be subtle. Hardcore is just straight to the point. It feels like it's not really even a genre name, just like this is what it's gonna feel like, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people associate with hardcore with metal or rock, but it's an EDM genre.
Maybe we need to rename our genres here then. 'Cause pop is just popular. You
Yes,
know, like it's really kind of a pointless name.
it is. I'm glad we agree on that.
It's a really way too broad as well, because you think about it, what is it? Frank Sinatra is pop, but then so is like Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
If saying I love Frank Sinatra meant I love pop, then I love pop. But I don't like really any modern day pop artists. I mean, I like the occasional ones.
I completely agree. Like the like there's some modern songs that I do appreciate, but in general, the modern pop is usually, at least for me, a little too basic.
Yeah. There's ones that stick out in my eyes, but not the whole genre. So what are some difficulties you ran into between writing music and making the animations?
Okay, so animation-wise, it's making a pipeline. Basically, I don't just download one piece of software and make everything and call it a day. You have to have the animation software. You have to, once you render it, you have to actually render it with something called Swivel, which is a software made back in the early 2000s, like Newgrounds days. So whenever you open it, it just plays a really loud tune thing that breaks everyone's speakers.
Yeah.
And then you have to do a whole bunch of other stuff. Actually, before you even do animation, you have to make the audio within Reaper. There's so many pieces of software and just little workarounds they have to do in order to make the animation. And I feel like a lot of people just try to, a lot of people see it as one step when actually there are whole tons of,
Yeah, it's not just one software and you just go in there and make it.
yeah.
Yeah, I get that for sure. Yeah. It's probably it's a definitely one of those things where how long you said it takes you around 3 weeks to make an animation, like a short.
Yeah, around there.
Yeah, see that's a lot of time to dedicate to it. And how many out of how much of that is you actually of that of those weeks is you actually like how long do you think you're sitting down at your computer working on the animation?
Ooh, okay. So I'd say around 4 days for really good audio, maybe two. For something simple.
Is that you're working all day on all day each day?
Realistically, I have a lot of things going on in my life, so I only get like around 6 hours every day to work on the stuff.
Oh dang. That's a lot. That's still I say that's a pretty solid amount of time commitment.
Yes. I'd say, like, obviously, the animation stuff, like, just being in the animation software takes up most of the chunk, and then for the last whole 2 days, it's rendering and stuff. Not because it takes a long time to render, but because there's usually a lot of troubleshooting, and sometimes things go wrong that you don't expect.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like sometimes you even have like audio syncing issues, and you have to put in Adobe Premiere Pro just to realign the audio waveform with the video, and it's aggravating sometimes.
Yeah, see, I'm really not good at editing, and I really don't have a good computer for it. So like most of the podcasts are edited by my buddy, which really I don't, but I really don't asked for like a ton of editing anyways. I'm really just like cut out any dead space.
Hey, the fact that you have someone who helps you edit, that I'm already envious.
Yeah, I mean, I have a. I hope he doesn't mind me name dropping. He's probably going to be listening to this later and be like, "Oh, cool." But you guys need to have a little Eric. His name's Eric. You always need to have an Eric in your life, okay? He's very good to have around, because if you're like me and like not tech savvy like at all, any technical like any problems with like technology or any software or anything like that, I'm like, Eric, you know, I'm like, can I get you help? Like some like I'm some grandma asking for my grandchild's help.
We all need an Eric in our lives. Although I feel like I'm pretty tech savvy, so if I ever ask for help, it's just so that I could not have to deal with certain headaches and just what's the word? Just shave some time.
Like you can, if you have somebody who's able to, you know, do your audio for you or something like that. Obviously, I don't think you would do this, but if you had that, then that opens up the opportunity to where you can, one, start producing a lot more at a quicker rate, but also you don't have to go from one short to the next. You can be doing multiple shorts at a time, and you can just have better efficiency, I guess, which obviously, again, like that's what makes doing what you're doing difficult, because it's one of those things where you really got to find those people who are creative minded like you and just want to do it because they want to do it. Because I know a lot of people on here might be looking for a gain from this, like an overall profit from doing their, you know, whatever they do. But then I know some people are perfectly content with not making a dime and just doing this for fun.
Well, something I do want to say real quick. I do hope, like, if I ever do find people who could help me with stuff, I very much want to be able to repay those people back, whether it's money or opportunity or just, I don't know, making their lives better. I don't like the feeling of just getting labor for free.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. I think you definitely should kind of be like, hey, I don't have a lot to give you right now, but if things go well, I'm not just going to be like, thank you, bye. I was going to ask, do you have you mentioned off recording that you felt that there were some things that you were creative outlets that you were thinking of exploring that people might not have heard about. Did you want to share any of those?
Yeah, it was just a little bit of history, like just a little bit of a fact about me. I actually wanted to be a game developer at first, and I just made little bits and stuff, but they were absolutely awful, and then I switched to Godot. But one thing I've learned about myself is I absolutely hate programming. Like whenever I make little games and stuff, I mainly focus on the experience for the player rather than the actual mechanics themselves. That's something I've learned about myself, and I think some way to take away from that is, for anybody listening, if they have a dream to do something but they are not passionate about certain aspects of that thing, I'd say always reconsider what you actually love doing and what you want to do for the rest of your life.
Cool. That's a really good piece of advice to give people. I feel like I'm partially wanting to turn this podcast on just like a therapy session for some people, because I'm like, I don't know. I've listened to a lot of podcasts where there's ones I listen to like for comedy purposes, and then there's others I listen to surely just for what they're talking about, which I think is fascinating, because you could just have those conversations in real life, where comedy ones, they're trying to be funny. You know, they have bits, right? Like these are two entertaining people, whereas conversation You know, I guess that kind of makes me wonder what makes those as popular as they do. I don't know. Okay, I got a question for you because I feel like I'm asking everybody this because I'm looking for their opinion. Do I have a podcast voice?
Do you have... sorry, that's a funny question. I absolutely think you do. Okay, one thing I was looking at different videos of stuff that you're in, both in your own channels and other channels you have been a part of. And one thing that I find that you have a really good thing going with is that you have a really soothing voice.
Thank you. I'm gonna make an ASMR channel.
Yeah, I feel like if you did make an ASMR channel, it would go viral.
Yeah, I haven't really thought about that before. Which is kind of, I think I can. There's no way my nana's gonna listen to this, but if she does, I think I can thank her because to like my viewers a little bit about me, even though I know this is an interview. I was homeschooled, but for about only probably I was only fully homeschooled for till fourth grade or something like that, but. My nana, basically, she had like a master's in English, I want to say, or language arts. But she basically taught us our, you know, grammar, basically, at a young age. And we were learning, learning enough grammar to where I didn't revisit it back until like college, to the point to where I had almost forgotten it, which I feel like I knew what it was. I just had to get reminded. But I think that was to my benefit because it's funny because a lot of people, like I know a lot of my followers are in those, I'm in the South. So like, obviously there's a lot of people with Southern accents, and there's a lot of people in my family with Southern accents and people will probably listen to me talk and identify a bit of an accent, depending on where you're from and what you're surrounded by. But I would say somehow I don't really have an accent.
You absolutely do not have an accent. Like you have like the most neutral accent compared to anybody else I know. So
now, if you get me in certain situations, then I might sound a little bit Southern, but that's about it. Like most of the time, I'm pretty good with grammar, and that's why I bring up grammar because it's like I don't use very much slang. Anyways, that was a very random question for me to ask.
It's a good question. And when it comes to country accents, I'll say that I'm guilty with using the word y'all.
I use y'all all the time at work. Never in group settings though. Yeah, I'm not about to go out there and be like, you guys, you all.
You can just shorten it, y'all. It's great.
Those are the two words that catch me where you'll be like, oh yeah, he's from the South. It's ain't and y'all. Those are two words. Yeah, I'll visit those a lot. Yeah, not as much because I feel like ain't sounds so Southern, you know? Because even like a lot of people I know who are very Southern, have Southern accents, don't say ain't. And like my mom and like my grandma would be like, don't say ain't. Because it's just bad grammar.
Yeah, my parents tell me not to say y'all, but they can't stop me.
Wow, yeah, that's fair. Okay, now they never got on me saying y'all, which I find strange because again that is bad grammar. But everything else pretty cracked down on me on about it.
One thing I wanted to say was I do want to thank my family for. Who I am, like my mother for my moral ground and my father for my tech savviness, also my mother for the fact that I'm artistic in the ways that I am, and also my sister for being both a close friend and someone to talk to when it comes to artistic stuff. So
that's sweet. I mean. Are you comfortable like sharing who your sister is? Just curious. Like her account.
Tide-tailed Fox, follow it. It's on Instagram. She makes really good art. I highly recommend it.
Okay. And go follow Preston. I'll have links in the description of wherever you're listening or watching this from, and or you maybe you're just seeing a clip. This will be on that as well. But I guess my final question from you would be, what is a word of advice you would leave people, maybe in your similar situation, or just, you know, with people who have endeavors such as yours, what would your advice be to them?
Ooh, that's a good question. I've already said, given a really good piece of advice, so I guess I'll just give you.
You gotta give a new one. I'm kidding. You don't actually have to.
I'll give you just a piece of general advice. Quit soda.
Quit soda?
Yeah. Quitting soda is the easiest way to change your life.
Wow. That is not what I thought you'd say. But that's very, very memorable. Man, I thought you were about to just drop some seriously deep thought. But that is very valid.
Seriously, though, like, if you ever feel like you are just drained, quit soda. Like, your energy levels will be consistent, and you will feel so much better as a person. And you'll get more things done.
You're making me feel so wild right now, because on both podcasts that I've now recorded two separate days, I have recorded them while sipping on a Mountain Dew the entire. I mean, it's pure coincidence. I drink a lot of water, but usually this is right. I've been doing this right after like lunch or something like that. So like, I don't know. I drink plenty of water. A lot more than I used to.
If you still want that kick from soda, there's soda water. Soda water exists, or it's also called club soda, or some people call it diet water, which is funny. But
I will consider it. I'm gonna be honest; it's a slow probability. But if I ever am looking for a solution in life, I will turn to that.
Sounds good. If I ever come back to a podcast or anything for any reason, you better be drinking water.
Okay. This is so off topic, and probably I thought that was going to be the last thing, but do you drink soda?
No, I only drink water and soda water. I guess soda water counts as a soda, but it doesn't have any syrup or soda or anything. It's just water, carbonated water.
Okay. I respect it. Can't say I have not really tried, like, are you talking like sparkling water and stuff like that?
Yeah, sparkling water. It there's many names for it, but I just call it soda water.
Okay. You know, I'll think about it. I'll think about it for sure. But definitely next time I'll be drinking water. I literally sat down to start recording and I was like, I should have brought my water bottle up, but.
Thank you for inviting me. This was really fun. Just in case, PAG Entertainment on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok. Go subscribe or follow. And also, please subscribe to TW Customs. Wow. He's the best.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Well, y'all have a nice day, and thank you for listening. And bye.